I am amazed always at how that God works in a service. For example, I told no one about the message I was going to be speaking this morning, God's call to genuine repentance. And yet, did you notice the songs that were selected? Almost every single song was about the blood. God's call to genuine repentance. What do you do? And what do you say to a friend who claims to be a Christian but lives an ungodly life? Now, I know that every single one of us in this room know of people just like this. We know of people who claim to be Christians but live lives that are ungodly. What do you say? How can you counsel a believer who struggles against a particular temptation but repeatedly succumbs to it or falls to it seemingly all the time? 1 John 1:9 says this, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Yet there are so many, and we know this to be true, that are struggling and simply cannot find release from the bondage that enslaves them. It may be a simple thing as just cussing, swearing, but it may be deeper into alcoholism, or lying, or cheating, or drugs, or pornography. But they're struggling. They never experience the victory that Jesus Christ promises. And we all know people, all through our families and all through our relationships, just like that. They're struggling. They can't seem to conquer. They can't seem to get victory. How do we counsel them? Although they may be sincerely in love with God, or they say they sincerely love God, they may not have ever genuinely repented of their sin. And that may be the problem. They may never have genuinely repented of their sin. And unless they do, they will never enjoy the freedom and the triumph that is ours through Christ. So I want to look this morning at five different major points and help you out and help me out, help us out as we deal with others and try to lead them to the things of Christ. Let's first write this one down. Repentance is very important. Can I get a hearty amen right there? Repentance is important. Now, you understand that there is a philosophy out there anymore that you don't need to do any more repenting. You just need to do believing. I believe you have to do both. I believe you have to believe and then you have to also repent. Repentance is important. Jesus provided for the forgiveness of sin through His death on the cross. And aren't you glad that Jesus provided forgiveness for sin by the death on the cross? Amen. Now, let's look at a verse of Scripture that I don't have, Brother Brian, in the notes, if you can find it real quickly, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and then we'll go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. But going to Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John the Baptist thought it was very important to preach repentance. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Go to verse 17 of chapter 4, please. "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I would certainly think if John the Baptist thought it was important and if Jesus Christ thought it was important to say, you've got to repent, it must be very important that we need to learn what repentance is so that we can also repent ourselves. So, the importance of repentance. Repentance is important. Go with me to Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. The way we accept God's gift of salvation is through repentance. agreeing with God that we have fallen short of what He expects of us. I am going to agree with God that I have fallen short of what God expects of me. Amen? The Bible says, "And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance," here it is, "and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." You see, turning from sin is very, very crucial to enjoying the abundant Christian life. If you don't turn from sin, if you don't repent and turn from that sin, you will never enjoy the Christian life. Number two, going only to five. What is genuine repentance? The call to turn from sin is really an invitation to salvation. Go with me to Luke chapter 5. It'll be on the screen, verse number 32. I say the call to turn from sin is really an invitation to salvation and a new life. Here's what Jesus said: "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Do you know that everybody here, under the sound of my voice, all the way from this section, all the way over to this section, everybody here has been a sinner? And can I tell you that everybody from that section all the way over to this section, we are all still sinners. The only difference is that some of us have been saved by grace. And that's why we sing those songs with such excitement. And that's why we raise a hand, because we know of that day that Jesus Christ forgave us of our sins and set us free. And the blood washed away that sin. We can stand and shout and say, "Glory to God, the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ set me free." And that's the truth from Scripture. So, we start the process of repentance by realizing our need of a Savior and acknowledging that our actions are contrary to God's commandments. They're contrary to God's desires, and they're contrary to God's plans. But this is only the beginning. You see, in the Bible, that word repentance carries two implications. Number one, please. The first is that there is a genuine, heartfelt remorse that what we have done is sin. You know, that's what I see as lacking today. Because nobody wants to admit what they're doing is wrong and that it's sin or that it's against God. In fact, I had one of my own family members tell me one day, as she was lighting up a cigarette, and I said, I wish you wouldn't do that. And she looked at me and said, "Oh, Jimmy," that's my name, but you call me Pastor. She said, "If Jesus were here with me right now, He'd light one too." And I thought, wow, get back. The lightning's going to hit somewhere quick. How could anybody say that? That if He were sitting right here, He'd be lighting up one too. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have any understanding of the awesomeness of Almighty God and how God really is. God has nothing to do with that sort of thing. Nothing at all. I think we need to learn something. Number one, genuine heartfelt remorse that what we have done is indeed sin. That's number one. Number two, secondly, is that we have changed our direction. Repentance carries those two implications. Genuine heartfelt remorse that what I have done is sin. And secondly, that we have changed our direction. Authentic repentance always includes a commitment to turn from our rebellion and to walk in obedience to God. Now that's real repentance. Many people, however, are not really sorry that they have sinned against the Lord. Rather, they regret that they were caught doing something wrong. And maybe a fellow cheated on his wife, or she cheated on her husband, or maybe got caught with pornography, and oh, they're blubbering and boo-hooing, and I am so sorry. And maybe they got caught drinking, or maybe they got caught with a beer in the car, or whatever, and all of a sudden, I don't know what's wrong with me, I am so sorry. But those tears are not tears of repentance. They're tears because they've got caught for what they've done. They may even cry. I've seen people cry, feel ashamed, embarrassed, may even ask for forgiveness. I've seen people even ask for forgiveness. However, unless these people acknowledge violating God's command and choose to embrace God's standard for their behavior, they have never truly repented. And we have a lot of that sort of thing going on in our churches. We don't have genuine repentance. That's why the Bible says the way is straight and narrow, and few there be that find it. Because people live any way they want to live and believe that God accepts them how they live. God accepts you, and then he wants to change you. He does accept you as you are. He does. And then he wants to change you. Or else that verse of Scripture is not right. When we come to Christ, the Bible says, behold, all things have become new. Old things are passed away. Is that still in that book? The Bible said old things are passed away, and when you get saved, behold, all things become new. Now, that's in the book. But that's old-fashioned preaching, isn't it? That's old-fashioned preaching. And so many people will say, well, preacher, I don't want to go to an old-fashioned church that preaches like that, because I don't believe like that anymore. We've kind of modernized our way of thinking. You never can modernize this book. This book is solid, stayed, it's there. There's a verse of Scripture I want you to look at. It's Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 7. Now look at what the verse says. You see, unless we acknowledge that we've violated God's command and choose to embrace his standards of our behavior, we have not truly repented, and here's the reason why I say that. Let the wicked forsake his way. That means you're going to change what you're doing. Does that make sense to everybody? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Wow. What a God we serve. Number three, the prodigal son is an excellent example of what we're talking about. Go with me, and if you will, open your Bibles, although they'll have it perhaps on the screen. I don't think I put this one in there either. But go with me to Luke 15. One of the best illustrations of genuine repentance is found in Luke 15. Verse 11, it starts there. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Now, this is one of the best illustrations of genuine repentance. In the parable of the prodigal, the young man has already asked his father for his portion of the estate. However, it was not long before the son has squandered his entire inheritance by riotous living, and he found himself in a terrible situation. He found himself feeding hogs. And he found himself facing starvation. Look at verse 16 now. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, there it is. At some point in your life, mark it down, you will come to yourself. If you've ever been talked to about the things of God, ever been preached to, the seed ever been planted, there'll come a time when you'll finally come to yourself. The CJN said it's doing a great job. CJN got one of those papers the other day, by the way, of purity. Teaching about purity. Taking our youth on Wednesday nights and teaching them how the Scripture records that we can stay clean and pure in this society that we live in. I think it's wonderful that CJ has taught these principles. Then he has a piece of paper that one young lady, CJ, brought to my office and said, Pastor, I'm not sure who I'm to give this to, if either CJ or you. I said, well, I can take it, and then I'll tell CJ about it. And she signed the paper, and her mother signed the paper. that she had promised to God that she's going to stay clean and pure until the day she's married. Oh, boy. Now, that did touch me. She left, and I wept a bit, like I'm doing now. I said, thank you twice. Thank you for CJ, for taking the time to teach it. And thanks for that young lady who picked up on it. Said, I'm going to do something right. Now, not everybody who hears the teaching will do it right. But there will be somebody. Or maybe there'll be more than one somebody's. See, preachers, that important in this day is just as important as any other day. But I understand that in our society, it's okay to do all that stuff. According to who? According to who is it all right? According to God, it's not all right. Come on, amen. I don't know, church, you got to still stand for this stuff. Or I'm in the wrong place. I'm telling you, we got to stand on this stuff. Because this is the Word of God. This is God's Word. So this young lady signed that paper, brought it to me. And when he had came to himself, listen, I'd like to preach to everybody this morning as kindly and sweetly as I know how. Don't wait till you mess it up till you come to yourself. Come to yourself before you get messed up. And he came to himself. Now, he was messed up. And he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? The young man began to realize how helpless he was and that his manner of living was wrong and destructive. And as a result, he felt remorse about his actions. And then here, notice this, he changed his behavior. He felt remorse, and then he changed his behavior. The only way you're ever going to make this thing go is you got to feel this remorse, this regret, I'm sorry for my sin, and change your behavior. I am so tired of preachers getting by preaching that you don't have to change anything. You can do whatever you want to do. No, you got to change your behavior. He got out of the hog pen. He got out of the muck and the mire. He decided, look at verse 18 and 19, please. I will arise. I'm going to get up. I'm going to arise. I'm going to do something. I'm going to arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. That's a perfect example of repentance. Going to your heavenly father and say, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Do you see it? He felt remorseful about his actions and his repentance. He changed his behavior. Number four. Roman numeral four in your notes. What does it mean to believe? Many people decide to take God's blessings and live any way they wish. Like the prodigal son, they end up many times hitting rock bottom. They hit rock bottom in sin. They hit rock bottom in despair. They hit rock bottom in helplessness, hopelessness. And what they need is the eternal change that takes place when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior and truly believes in the Lord Jesus. Now, it's more. I'm telling you, it's more. Folks, listen to me. It's more than just mental asset. It's more than just thinking about it. It is. Our behavior must also change. People must turn away from their sin and agree with God that it is the path of destruction. And they should surrender everything to Jesus. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I've got to realize that life that he offers is better than anything the world can offer. I've got to come to that realization that the life that that preacher tells me about and is preaching to me about and talking to me about, that life that he's saying the Bible talks about, is so much better than any life the world could offer me. And I'm telling you, it is the truth. The life of Jesus Christ is better than any life the world could ever offer you. It is. Now, I know many in this room have struggles. But I would guarantee you that if I asked that question, that every hand would no doubt raise that the life of Jesus is so much better than the life the world offers. Now, I'm not saying the world doesn't have fun. It does have fun. I'm not saying the world doesn't have pleasure. It does have pleasure. In fact, the Bible said you can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But the secret is, it's a season. Then it's over. What does it mean to believe? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us one more time, if anyone is in Christ, therefore if any be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Isn't that a powerful verse? Number 5, and I'm done. Does repentance mean, oh goodness, listen to this. Does repentance mean you'll never sin again? Boy, some people just, yeah, that's what that means. No, that's not what that means. If you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, does that mean that you are now immune to temptation? Are you immune to temptation? No. Does that mean you'll never violate His holy standards again? No. Is there anybody in this building that's perfect? Don't raise your hand. You'll be imperfect. There's nobody in this place perfect. And even though we're saved and born again, we will still mess up because we're still sinners, except we're saved by grace. How many of you, now would you be honest here, since the day you got saved till right now, you have messed up a time or two? Every hand needs to be raised. We've all messed up. And by the way, if we live another few days, another few minutes, we'll probably mess up again. But aren't you glad for God's grace? Aren't you glad for His love? Aren't you glad for His tender mercy? What a God. Yes, we do mess up. And God does forgive us. Unfortunately, if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, does that mean that you are now immune to temptation? No. We will never do anything that violates His holy standard? Unfortunately, no, we will do all those things. We will still sin because the process of God transforming us into the likeness of Christ, also known as sanctification, takes time. I don't care what anybody tells you, no one is instantly sanctified. And we'll never be completely sanctified till we get there. Because we're sinful people. But He loves us. In fact, sometimes we will not even realize that our actions or our habits are wrong until the Holy Spirit convicts us. Now, sometimes you know that to be true. You say, well, I didn't know that was wrong, but I don't feel so good about it now. Now you stop doing it. You turn again. You repent again. You see, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our habits and wrongdoings. He is so faithful to reveal our sins and lead us to repentance. Then as believers, we depend on the Holy Spirit's ability rather than our self-effort. He enables us then to live what we call victorious Christian living or victorious Christian lives. I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And as I have you turn there, and I'm going to get that to you in just a second. Take a few moments this morning, would you, right now, and reevaluate yourself? And I'm going to ask everybody in this building today, is there a habit or a behavior that God has been telling you you need to confess and turn from? Now, what's it say? The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, God wants everybody to be saved. And if you are failing in a certain area of your life, God even wants you to come to Him. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. What's it say there? You probably, some of you know that. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now look at one more verse of Scripture found in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Perhaps there's a habit, a behavior, God's been telling you that you need to confess, turn from. The Lord desires for you to repent because sin is so very destructive. Look at the verse on the screen, please. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Does everybody see this, please? But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We confess, and notice the next word, forsaketh them. That's repenting, turning from them, shall have mercy. When you and I surrender to the Lord, He responds by cleansing us from wrongdoing and freeing us from its bondages. Listen this morning, if anyone in this building, anyone listening by radio is trapped by sin, I pray that you will confess that sin and change your course. Decide to pursue God's best for your life rather than staying captives of some harmful pattern of wrong behavior. Why do you want to stay attached to wrong behavior when we know it's all going to come to a climactic end? Let's get to God. Change that behavior. Musicians are coming. I'm telling you, the Lord can show you the abundant, joyful Christian life if you will simply submit to God. So the first service after Thanksgiving, we don't need to wait any longer. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family and friends, and we ate and we partied and we had a good time, and that's wonderful. But do we really know God? Have we really got genuine repentance? Or do we find ourselves going back again and again and again into wrongful behavior? Maybe it's because we've never really genuinely repented. Let's stand together, shall we?
On behalf of Pastor James Lewis and the entire Harvest Baptist Temple, we'd like to say thank you for downloading this message, and it's our prayer it's been a blessing and an encouragement to you. Would you do us just a small favor, please? Take a minute and send us an email just to let us know where in the world you're listening to this message. For example, if you live in China, just simply say, "I'm from China," and give us the title of the message you downloaded. If you'd like to give us more detail, that's fine too. We would just like to know how many people in different parts of the world we're touching through this ministry. The email address is harvest@harvestbaptisttemple.com. We won't put you on any kind of a mailing list, and we certainly won't give your email address to anybody else. Thank you for taking a minute to help us out, and thank you for downloading this message. For more information about the Harvest Baptist Temple, look us up online at considerharvest.com. Considerharvest.com. God bless you.